Welcome to this sample audio clip, which comes from the series entitled Multi-Hull Conversations with Jim Brown. In this recording, Jim speaks to outdoorsman, water sports entrepreneur, and small trimaran developer Andy Zimmerman. Andy is the owner of the Get Outdoors store in Greensboro, North Carolina, found on the web at www.getoutdoors.us. You can find out more about this historic audio conversation series with Jim Brown at www.outrigmedia.com.
Talk about, you know, other adventures, and you know, I found a lot of adventure after I'd met you, and got into sailing, and just a new experience on the water. And you know, we started out with the Windrider 16, and you know, some similarities to the squirting with that wave piercing hull that you designed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I suppose a squirt boat has a wave-piercing bow. That's true.
It does. It does. It's just turned the other way, Jim. Uh-huh. And, you know, I mean, it was, I remember going out in the Windrider in rougher coastal waters and thinking the same thing. Because, you know, in a way, it was a wet ride. And, of course, squirting was a wet ride.
Yeah.
But, you know, piercing through the waves, you know, in the ocean, I had a similar feeling, you know, instead of going up and over them like people were used to. You know, I had never been introduced to a wave-piercing hull. I've been introduced to a river-piercing, you know, hull, but never out on a large body of water in a sailboat. So yeah, it was interesting and brought some new adventure into my life. And you know, we started camping out of the Windriders, and even more so when the Windrider 17 came along. But then you know, the project that we did with the Rave, where the foils were piercing through the waters, and you know, the boat was totally out of the water. You know, again, another level of adventure and innovation, you know, that, which is adventure to me, you know, building something that's totally different, as long as it makes sense, than anybody else ever made. And,
well,
that's great, Andy. The Windrider.
The hydrofoil thing is, close to my heart at the moment, because it was just last weekend that I was able to finally really go for a ride in a hydrofoil sailboat down there at Melbourne, Florida,
right,
with Mike McGarry and Sam Bradfield and Tom Heyman. We sailed their new 17-foot trimaran that's equipped with three T-foils. That is, it looks like an inverted T. There's a vertical dagger going down into the water with a horizontal wing attached to the bottom of the dagger, and the wings actually lift the boat up out of the water. I'm describing that for our listeners. And so that once you can get the hulls out of the water, you don't have to push tons of it out of the way to get through, and all of a sudden the boat takes off. So you've experienced this, but let me describe what it was like for me. You know, I've done a fair bit of sailing. I started out as a schooner bum, and then subsequently have been through like 50 years of multi-hulling, but I've never experienced anything like this hydrofoiling thing. We were out there getting the boat set up, and then Mike McGarry said, "Okay, she's going to want to fly. Here we go." And he put the boat off of the wind, and the thing began to charge ahead. And the lee float kicked up a huge spray. It seemed like the spray was getting hit harder, and the water was getting pushed out of the way faster than anything I'd ever seen. And then all of a sudden, it quit. The spray completely stopped because the boat was like levitating, and the sensation of levitating was almost imperceptible, but the acceleration was definite, you know. it was profound. Quite something for me. I mean, I had never seen a boat take off like that, and I was kneeling on the trampolines. They have net trampolines in that boat, Andy, and get your fingers through, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was really hanging on to that thing as the boat took off. And the next thing I noticed was the quiet. All the water noise was gone. You could hear the wind okay. And so then Mike sheeted in and started heading up. And holy mackerel, there was all of a sudden just a quantum increase in the apparent wind. It was like hanging your head out the car window. And
I liken the sound to ice skating. You know, you're just kind of skimming on top of frozen water, and and here you're skimming just below the surface with some airplane wings, you know, foil shapes that are lifting the whole boat up in the air.
I hadn't thought of that. Those vertical daggers do slice the surface, and there is a faint white noise that results. But I hadn't thought of it as being skating. That's right. I thought of it as soaring. Sam's new boat is named Osprey, but the thing doesn't fly like an osprey. It flies like a pelican. It's skimming the waves, just touching them with its wingtips, you know. Mm-hmm. Just always in the air, but just right off of the water, and go. My gosh, I mean, the thing would just rip. It was like looking back, like opening the door of a seaplane when you're taxiing for takeoff and looking back.
That's a good description.
I couldn't get over it. And comfort? Oh, man, it was so much more comfortable than jumping over the chop, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And the wake, I couldn't get over the wake. There was three thin lines of, like, salt steam just converging away, rapidly going away. And because of my limited vision, I couldn't see down into the water to see the hydrofoils themselves. And so all of a sudden, I wanted more, man. I wanted more wind, more speed, and I wanted to be sailing at night in phosphorescent seas.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You know, so you could see the outline of the foils down there doing their job.
Well, something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the listeners should know that Andy, this guy we're talking with, my God, he produced the first consumer level hydrofoil borne sailboat, the Rave, about 2001 or so, or 2000.
It was a little bit before that, Jim. It's probably 2000 when we first came out with that boat.
Uh-huh.
And, I called it the manufacturing accomplishment of a lifetime that we never made any money on.
Yeah.
We learned a lot, and obviously it got us a tremendous amount of attention, I think, for the Windrider, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people looked at the Rave and then bought Windriders from us.
Yeah.
That was
sure
called the Windrider Rave.
Sure gave your company a cutting edge image.
Oh, you know, it was written up in every single magazine, plastics industry news, and, you know, front cover picture, and the plastic manufacturer, you know, multi-billion-dollar company who sold us the plastic, put it in there on the front cover of their annual report.
Yeah.
So it got us a tremendous amount of attention. We learned a tremendous amount from a manufacturing standpoint. Again, you know, the molded through ports for the foils. You know, we did some first-time stuff with that boat that had some applications to other manufacturing efforts. So we did learn a lot from it. But you know, it was not a a product that we made a lot of money on. Probably didn't make any money. But like I said, we learned a lot from it, and I think it sold Windriders.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about the Multi-Hull Conversations with Jim Brown series, come visit us on the web at www.outrigmedia.com.